You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
Happy Saturday morning to you. It is Make the Call on the Civic Media Sports Network. I'm Jimmy Kuska, and today joined, as always, by the full panel of hosts across the Civic Media Network. We'll start in Green Bay with Conrad. Conrad, how's it going?
It is going well. Excited for this game on a Saturday. How cool is that?
Yes, later today, Packers-Bears coming up. We'll talk lots about that one today. Parker in Madison, how's it going?
Doing pretty well. I'm not excited it's a Saturday game for the Packers, I'll be honest. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, this really messes with the whole like structure of each week, because now Sunday, you know, what do you do Sunday? Like, it does mess with things a bit. I get it. I feel you. All right. And then the man of the hour is Gray Gunderson in Park Falls. Gray, very, very exciting announcement made this week by Civic Media. We discovered there is a gray heart emoji.
Yeah, I've been using that for months. I'm the hipster of the gray heart emoji, and I've had extra occasion to use it. Thank you for announcing that. I was going to share that myself, Jimmy, and I'm embarrassed now because I didn't realize you were going to reveal such a thing without telling me beforehand.
Well, that was the big news, right? That's the only thing that happened this week with you, so that's it, right? So...
I have my own emoji. What other news could there be?
Gray is now, I think, in charge of all of us on this show. He's associate program operation something. I don't know. He's got a very long title, and it has a lot of very important words in it. So, Gray, we all bow to you. Thank you for allowing us to continue this show. Thank you so much. We are going to move into the top 7 at 7, because that's what we're here to do, is talk sports and also suck up to Gray, because he might be our new boss. Number 7 in our top 7 at 7. If you're new to the show, at 7 a.m. we go through the top 7 sports or not sports stories as we see fit. Number 7, what do you want for Christmas? Sports edition, meaning what in sports do you want for Christmas? So who do we go to first here? We will start with Gray.
MLB salary cap. Yeah,
that's solid.
That's right. Simple answer. There you go.
Love it. Yeah, I really like that. Wow. I'm impressed. Great. That was such a good answer. I totally forgot what I was going to say.
All right. Then I was going to tap on you to go next, but I think we better go to Conrad here.
You know, for Christmas this year, I want to give my ACL to Micah Parsons. Please, doctors, scientists, make it happen. Give it to him. I don't need it.
What I want for Christmas is a yellow stripe on that white Packers helmet, so it actually looks like a Packers helmet.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's a good one too. That's a good one too. I like it. I like it.
Jimmy? All right. So we've got two wishes, and then we've got the gift of giving. Number 6 is a very similar question in our top 7 at 7. What do you want for Christmas? And this doesn't have to be sports. What do you want? I'm asking you guys what you want for Christmas, and I will start with Conrad.
I want socks. Okay. My socks have holes in them. I need some more socks. Anyone can help me out with that, please.
Wait, as a 40-year-old man, I can tell you that's all I get for Christmas anymore. That's literally all you get at this age is socks. Underwear and socks, that's all you get. So, Conrad, I am welcoming you as an honorary 40-year-old this year. So I hope that comes through for you here in 2025. Number 5 in our top 7 at 7. Are you disappointed with the Badgers not winning the volleyball national title? Now, Oshkosh won it in D3. Wisconsin just couldn't get it done in the semifinal in a 5-set thriller against Kentucky. I'm asking this with tongue firmly planted in cheek. Parker.
Yeah, no, I'm not disappointed at all. I am a little disappointed in how they played in that game against Kentucky. Kind of thought that they should have won that, especially after how much of a jump start they got in that first set. And then, frankly, just serving errors kind of killed them in that second set. And I think that's kind of what caused them to lose that match overall. But no, not disappointed. I'm always proud of my Badger volleyball program and Kelly Sheffield.
Well, when I was talking to some of those insiders with the Badgers volleyball program, this was the rebuilding or reloading year. Next year is the year where they truly feel like they contend. And once you know it, just a ho-hum Final Four appearance and, you know, a set away from the national championship for the Badgers here in 2025. Number four in our top 7 at 7. Which college football game are you looking forward to the most this postseason? This can be a bowl game. This can be a playoff game. This can be any college football game that is yet to be played. I will go first and say I am looking most forward to what happens in the Division III football playoffs with River Falls still going in today. They'll be taking on Johns Hopkins at noon. Parker.
That is a very good answer, Jimmy. Read my mind a little bit there. I'm also looking at Tulane at Ole Miss. Now, I know, Group of Five team in the college football playoff. People have mixed opinions on that. I'm a fan of the access to the tournament. I am also very interested in a Tulane team that has some momentum and a Lane Kiffin-less Ole Miss.
Conrad.
I'm excited for this, and this is the picture I was going to show you guys. The Pop-Tarts Bowl. Look at these helmets they're going to be wearing, okay? They have a stripe down the middle that is a Pop-Tart, like the frosting on it with the sprinkles. How cool is that? It's I'm so excited to see that. Those just the jerseys. I don't care about the game.
that is the crustiest helmet I've ever seen, and I'm so glad that I mean that in a good way.
The Pop-Tarts Bowl is the only bowl game that has a ritual sacrifice of a Pop-Tart as well. So that, to me, moves it way up there with the Duke's Mayo Bowl among my favorite college football bowl games. Number three in the top 7 at 7. I'm just going to whip this around to all three of you very quickly. In 10 seconds or less, what will the Packers' record be over the final three games? We'll go to Parker.
All right. Final three games here for the Packers. We have got at the Bears, home against the Ravens, at Minnesota. I'm going to say the Packers go 2-1 with a loss to the Bears.
Great.
I'm going to keep it the same. 2-1, but with a loss to the Vikings because McCarthy's actually been functioning and they might sneak up on us.
That is spicy. Conrad.
You know, I was kind of thinking that we're going to not take the Vikings serious, but they're eliminated from playoffs. They just want to go out there and have fun right now. I don't think we're going to lose to them, but I'm saying that. I'm just going to be optimistic and say 3-0. We're winning every single game. Lamar's throwing 4 picks against us.
Let's move to number two in the top 7 at 7. We're going to stay away from the football just for a moment and Pop-Tarts. Will Giannis be in Milwaukee through all of 2026? Now, this covers the last part of this season, the entire offseason, and the first part of next season. Yes, we're doing another Giannis Antetokounmpo question. Great.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say no, because one particular quote he mentioned after the Raptors game caught me way off guard. I heard it in a report that he said, my agent can have whatever conversations he wants with the Bucks about my future. And it's like, wait, what? No. Your agent has the conversations you want. That's what an agent is. So I heard that and thought, yeah, that's a plane ticket. Bye.
I'm going to say he is going to be. I'm going to say he's going to stay until the end of his contract. And I'm going to say he's not going to be traded anywhere. He's going to be a free agent. And this, the main reason is, like I said before in the show, there's no trade package that can be made for Giannis. So I think free agency, he's going to leave the Bucks.
I don't know about that. I think that the Bucks are going to let him go through about the last half season. He'll have like half a season left on his contract, and then they'll rent him out to somebody else, get some kind of value instead of just letting that contract.
We've reached number one in our top 7 at 7. And as we do during the NFL season, we preview this week's Packers matchup. And this week it is the Packers and Bears. That game is being played later today. So in about 20 seconds or less for each of you, our Packers Bears predictions, we're going to swing it right back over to Conrad.
I'm going to say we're going to pull this out. It's going to be a close game. I think we're going to win by like 3 points. Not going to give a final prediction like score, but I think we're going to pull it.
Great.
3-point victory sounds about right. A 3-point game is what I'll safely guess. Hate to boil it down, but Bears running backs, Packers defensive line. If the Packers win that, they might win the game. But if they don't, nothing else matters.
All right, Parker, you're last.
Yeah, Gray, I'm with you. I'm not sure that the Packers defensive line is going to be able to do enough in this game, especially on the first week without Micah Parsons, maybe they've kind of grown to rely on a little bit. I worry about that pass rush. I really worry about that two-headed monster that the Bears have got at running back.
That is our top 7 at 7, which you can hear every morning at 7 right here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Sports Network. Time now for an update from Mike Clemens. We'll talk high school hoops on the other side.
An early exit from the Final Four. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with this morning's sports. The Wisconsin women's volleyball team reached the Final Four this week, but came up short. They lost to the number one ranked team in the nation, Kentucky, 3-2. Mimi Collier, nominated for Player of the Year after the match.
Losing's never fun, especially in a game like this, but I think there's so much love that this group has for each other, and there's just so much connectiveness within the girls, and we love each other so much. So I think, you know, the locker room afterwards, there were some tears and there was lots of hugging. You know, there's a couple of our little freshmen that came in. They're like, oh, like, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, you guys played your hearts out.
So the Badgers volleyball team finishing with a record of 28 wins and just 5 losses. Kentucky will face Texas A&M tomorrow at 3:30 for the national championship game. Men's college basketball, another tough loss for Wisconsin. The Badgers losing to Villanova 76-66 in overtime last night. The game played at five serve form in Milwaukee. Head coach Greg Gard was hoping for some improvement after losing at Nebraska last week by 30 points.
For us, I thought the second half showed who we can be, who we need to be. It's what we've been asking for in terms of that effort and commitment on the defensive end. And obviously, you claw yourself back from down 15. Those guys that did that were a part of that. 5 or 6 guys showed me where, you know, who I need to have on the floor. And other guys got to continue to rise to the expectations.
Junior forward Nolan Winter scored a career-high 23 points for the Badgers, but became emotional when talking about the overtime loss after the game.
As a leader of this team and with Nick right here, I know that we got more in the tank. And I know what it means for us to wear Wisconsin across our chest, to go out there and not show the effort that the state of Wisconsin deserves, the program deserves for the first 20 minutes. So, you know, like Coach said, the second 20 minutes, I think we played a lot better as a team and we came together and we fought, but it needs to be a full 40.
The Badgers host Central Michigan on Monday night. NBA, the Bucks head to Minnesota today to play the Timberwolves 6 p.m. tomorrow night. Milwaukee losing to the Raptors 111-105 on Thursday. Giannis Antetokounmpo has been out the past 2 weeks with a severe calf muscle strain, says it'll probably be another 2 to 4 weeks before he can return. Giannis spoke to reporters for nearly a half hour, taking questions about the trade rumors that he wants out of Milwaukee. He denied those reports, and he says there's nothing he can do about other teams trying to lure him away by contacting the Bucks. Giannis says there are things in life you just can't control, and gave this example.
Listen. At the end of the day, like I tell my wife all the time, I say, like, stop going and shopping to Target. Like, every day she wakes up, she's like, I'm going to Target. I'm like, babe, like, stop. Like, you're addicted to Target. And she, every day today, she went to Target. Like, I can't control. She's a grown woman. She, like, I can't control what she does, right? So the same thing with my age. I can't control the conversations they're going to have. I can't control people that approach them. And at the same time, like, I can't control teams that approach the Bucks.
NFL, it's the Chicago Bears and Green Bay Packers tonight here at Soldier Field. It's rare that the two rivals meet each other, each with something on the line. It happened once in 1941 and again in 2010 when both teams had a shot at the playoffs and the Packers beat the Bears to move on to win Super Bowl 45. Rookie receiver Matthew Golden has been back in action and should have more snaps tonight. I asked him, when did this wrist injury happen that's kept him out the past couple of weeks?
It happened against the Giants. You know, I kind of just landed on it and, you know, it was just an injury that just happened on its own. You know, something I can't really control. But like I said, man, I'm back. And, you know, I'm more confident in what I can do when I'm on the field.
And the Packers losing Micah Parsons for the season on defense to a torn ACL in their loss to the Broncos. I asked the Packers defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, just how much have the other players on Green Bay's defense been inspired by Parsons in the past 3 months?
Just what you see on tape, it's how hard he plays. It's how hard he strains. It's how he tries to set edges. He tries to rush the passer. He gets off blocks. He runs after the quarterback. I mean, it's just exactly what you see on tape.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I think it'll be like the first time we went down 2019 to open up the season. I think it's going to be electric. I'm sure they're going to have the big baritone national anthem guy out there and piping it away. I think it's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere. Great focus, concentration, knowing the plan, preparing, and just knowing what to do. And ultimately, it's going to come down to the execution of that. It's playoff football atmosphere, so it'll be fun. Come on, baby, don't you wanna go back to that same old place,
sweet home Chicago. Game time tonight, 7:20 from Soldier Field with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
I'm joined on Make the Call by Mark Miller of the Wisconsin Basketball Yearbook. And Mark, it's great to finally get a chance to talk to you in this format after years of covering you in other places. It's great to get a chance to talk to you about not only, of course, the yearbook, but of course, the big event you have coming up here at the end of the year. Mark, great to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
Let's talk about the yearbook first, because this came out here in the winter, and this is an invaluable resource for people. Can you talk about the yearbook and where people can get it?
So the yearbook is in its 41st year now, and it's 360 pages of previews and predictions and pictures and schedules and rosters and stats for all the high schools in the state and the colleges in Wisconsin. So you can order online at WBBY.com, and we get that out to you, and you'll have it in your hands.
And that's what leads me into this part of it, is that the yearbook also has a basketball component to it. You have several events that happen throughout the winter, and the biggest one in terms of the number of games played and the number of people that end up heading to this is the Rick Majerus WBY Shootout, which is held in Mequon December 27th to the 30th this year. Let's start with just the origin of this event. How did this event come about for you, Mark?
Well, this is actually the 20th year, believe it or not. And it started, I guess that would have been like 2005. And we had it at Marquette University at the L. McGuire Center for the first 4 years, or 5 years, actually. And then we moved out to Concordia for the last 15. And, you know, it started just basically with wanting to put together a really big showcase event, you know, featuring some of the top teams and top players in our state. In a great venue. So that's how we started at Marquette. We brought some out-of-state teams in at that time. And then when we moved out to Concordia, we did that for a couple reasons. Number one, we wanted to go to 3 days instead of two. We wanted to get a few more games in instead of the number of games that we were allowed to play at Marquette. And then just the cost, you know, of parking and being downtown and all that got to be pretty high for people. So parking, of course, out of Concordia is free. So, you know, we've been out there for 15 years now, and you know, the I guess the genesis behind it is still kind of the same, bringing together top teams and programs and players from across Wisconsin and sometimes from out of Wisconsin in a format over 3 days to enjoy some great basketball over the Christmas break.
There are a lot of great matchups in this. I've covered this event at both of the venues it's been at. And what is really fantastic about it is that it condenses kind of a really good strong look. And I know that it's Southeastern Wisconsin based, so there's a lot of teams from that part of the state as part of it. But as you said, there are out-of-state teams that come in. There are some of the schools from other parts of the state that come in. And a lot of times, a lot of the schools are bringing with them some potential college prospects, even sometimes people that are interested or have committed to some of the colleges here in Wisconsin.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that we want, you know, to showcase these players and how good they are in a big venue. And so, you know, over the years, we've had multiple players that, you know, are currently in the NBA, like Tyrese Halliburton and Con Knipple and Tyler Harrow, among others. DeMarcus Cousins played in our event. You know, he's no longer in the NBA, but was for a long time. So, you know, it's fun to watch those guys go head to head and, you know, watch them compete against each other. It's a great memory maker for the players and coaches and parents and fans. And, you know, it's an opportunity to bring, great players in, from like we mentioned from throughout Wisconsin. You know, I would think back to when we had Henry Ellenson, from Rice Lake playing our event. You know, it's quite a drive, but, you know, a lot of people wanted to see Henry play in the Milwaukee area, and this was an opportunity for him to do so. You know, almost every game's got some guys that are going to go on to play at the next level, whether it's Division III, II, or I. And that's kind of what we're looking for, to bring the better teams together in one setting.
Mark Miller of the Wisconsin Basketball Yearbook joining us. And with the event, 27 games over the course of 3 days. And this year, it's the 27th, 29th, and 30th. You guys will skip the Sunday this year for obvious reasons, for WIAA reasons. But still have three dates worth of games with 9 games each day. You're at all of these. And you also hand out a little hardware for players in these games. There's some really cool recognition that goes along the way with these.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Rick Majerus Family Foundation is a big part of what we're doing, and they provide support financially and you know, to the to the shootout itself, having an MVP plaque for each of the 27 games that the kids get to take home and keep. Obviously, providing T-shirts for every player in the event. And we have 35 teams this year, so that's a lot of T-shirts. And then, you know, the big thing that they do is provide scholarship opportunities for the seniors that are from participating schools. They can apply for a $5,000 scholarship toward their education as freshmen next year in college. And to date, they've given out 89 scholarships and $445,000. So, you know, I think that kind of stands, kind of makes us stand apart a little bit to have the Majerus Family Foundation involved like they are. You know, they're just a great organization to work with, in addition to, you know, the great support that they provide for the student athletes that are involved in the event. So, it's a long 3 days, but you know, it's great basketball. I sleep pretty well the next day, but, you know, it's fun to be around and see people that you know, from the coaches to, you know, the fans that come every year. It's fun to reconnect with them, you know, right after the holiday there. So it's really a fun time.
If people want to learn more or follow along with the WBY shootout this year, where can they go?
Well, I work for Prep Hoops Wisconsin. So it's www.prephoops.com/Wisconsin. I'll have a lot of previews and so forth on there. And then, of course, my Twitter feed, WisBB Yearbook, will also have lots of information on the shootout as well. So there'll be no shortage of coverage, that's for sure.
And you can see the full schedule as well at WBBY.com if you want to see the matchups and want to get out to Concordia University to check everything out. Mark, I appreciate your time. It's great to reconnect here at this format here with Civic Media and make the call. Happy to hear from you and looking forward to seeing all the great coverage you're going to have of basketball the rest of the way.
I appreciate it, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on.
Mark Miller, Wisconsin Basketball Yearbook. Again, if you want to see all 27 matchups, you can go to WBBY.com. You can see all the matchups for not only the WBY shootout, but also for the border battles, for everything else that the Wisconsin Basketball Yearbook sponsors and puts on. You can find all of that at WBBY.com. You can also order yourself a copy of the yearbook. And I can tell you this, as someone who has followed high school hoops in Wisconsin for a very long time, it is an invaluable, invaluable resource to have if you're a big fan of high school hoops. We'll have more Make the Call coming up right after this on Civic Media.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back. I'm Jimmy Cuska, and it's time now for our roundtable segment as part of Make the Call. Roundtable, of course, includes Parker, Conrad, and Gray. And today we welcome in a very special roundtable guest. That is Dom Lee in Madison. Dom, welcome aboard.
Hello. I'm glad to be here. I'm this is the first time where I'm not, you know, producing anything, and it's going to be a fun time. I'm excited. Thank you, Parker, for inviting me as well.
We're going to have a lot of fun talking Packers Bears here, and that's what we're going to spend this segment on. That's a huge game coming up later today. Packers and Bears tonight. It feels like there's a lot. It's like a different kind of energy going into this matchup as opposed to the first one.
100%. Yeah. Last, 2 weeks ago when we were looking at Packers Bears, we were thinking, all right, this is going to be really, really fun. This is going to be a great time. We've got a lot of key players in this game that are really going to be impactful and matter. This time around, less key players in this game that are going to be impactful because, frankly, the Packers, as it normally seems, have about a quarter of their roster on the injury report. very concerning, guys. Gray, I know that you can give us some great Packers insight. Dom is going to give us some Bears insight. Conrad, you're the man. You know what you're doing. Conrad, what are some of the keys that you're looking at before we get into our two big insiders here?
Well, first of all, I'm still sad. I'm very sad. Micah Parsons, I wish you a speedy recovery. I want you back next year strong.
I did see yesterday that his tear is considered clean, so it should be okay. He should be as good of a tear as you can have, I guess.
That's great news.
Yeah.
Well, this is all I'm going to say. So, I mean, Bears, they're also very injured as well. So, I mean, in this game, they have two wide receivers that are out, their main ones right now. I think DJ Moore's the only like wide receiver they have in this game.
Yep.
And I'm expecting him to have a big game, and Loveland. If we can stop maybe one of them, maybe we can keep it even. I don't know. The defense didn't prove anything to me last weekend, so I don't know what to expect.
I'm still terrified, though. Oh, go ahead, Dom.
Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback off Conrad there. I the biggest thing for, and I'm talking about Bears here, Luther Burden's not being in the game. I think that's going to be a huge you know, it's going to be a huge downfall for the Bears. So like you said, Conrad, having a, I'm hoping Loveland and DJ Moore step it up. But those are the two players that I'm really looking at. Definitely.
I'm afraid of those two players, but not necessarily because they can just shoulder the load of the missing guys. I'm still afraid of Colston Loveland and of DJ Moore simply because the three other guys who matter most are available. That's DeAndre Swift. That's Kyle Monongai. And that's first and foremost, Ben Johnson. There's enough there for Ben to do what he needs to do as a coach to make it possible. And it all starts with the run game. If you go through, even if you just look at basic stats, which I don't love because they're boiled down representations, sometimes you can still see certain trends. And one of the trends is that the Bears flow through that running offense. And that's what keeps them near the top of the league in offensive production. Look at yards per game, look at points per game. The Bears are hanging out near the top. The other thing that they don't do on offense is give the ball away, and they do score when they get takeaways, which they do all the time. 30 takeaways this season for the Bears defense so far, average in the league just over 16. It's weird that a team has such a knack for both avoiding takeaways and creating them, and that it's the same team in the same year. It feels like we're looking at the best of the Ravens defense from 2005 and the best of the Ravens offense from 2013. It's like, how are they so lucky? And it's totally possible to turn that into a win, especially at home against an injured Packers, everything. But it's still possible. It's still possible. Dom, what are you afraid of with the Packers coming to town? That's an interesting perspective I'd like to hear. What scares you even with what's missing?
I'm just the history. That's the biggest thing. That's what I always get nervous about over every single Packers Bears game. I don't care how good the Bears are. It's always going to be a struggle playing the Packers. You know, luckily we are at home. So that's going to help us out a lot. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the Packers are still a team that want to get into these playoffs and are fighting. And although they have a lot of injuries, so do the Bears. And I think it's going to be very interesting about each matchup. I know our O-line's pretty good. We have Joe Tooney and we also have Drew Dahlman. And, you know, with Parsons out, that's going to be a huge help. But I still can't get over how good the Packers defense are. Even without Parsons, I still think they're going to be a very strong defensive team. So I'm really hoping Caleb can stay poised in the pocket and deliver darts downfield to DJ Moore. But that's the biggest thing at the end of the day is the history. The history part is scary. It's scary. And I know we lost to them 2 weeks ago, and I'm hoping we have a fighting chance this week.
Watching Caleb dodge the pass rush when it was intact was beyond frustrating. Conrad, how many times did you slap yourself in the forehead watching Caleb get away from the best we had, getting through and not getting home?
First of all, I got to say, without Micah Parsons now this week, Caleb Williams is going to have time in the pocket. And that's yep. That's going to be dangerous for our Packers defense because our secondary, let's be honest, it's not good. It has been pretty bad. So
it can be good though. It's so frustrating.
I think Nixon every out.
Sorry. Go ahead, Conrad.
I was just going to say Nixon every week is just like a different person, but go ahead.
No, my question is whether the Packers defense has gotten figured out, whether there's enough on tape that they're losing the battle for the mind games that go into any given game. And if that is indeed the case, if the Packers secondary is failing to overcome the amount that they've put on tape and they've revealed too much, then the worst team to play is anybody coached by Ben Johnson. That is like one of the things he does best is he finds the reliable advantages as small as they are. If you can reliably get an extra yard on one type of play, even just half a dozen times a game, cool. A good coach turns that into 18 points or more. You know, it's amazing how quickly it's a force multiplier when you've got that kind of coaching. I need to derive some kind of optimism from it though. So I'm personally looking at the fact that, hey, Jeff Hafley's been good with a Micah Parsons free defense before. Parker, how much stock do you put in the time that the team has had with the Jeff Hafley system? Because that's one of the things that we're going to need to lean on is, hey, they're familiar now.
That's a really good point. That was something that we talked about. I talked about it a lot a couple of weeks ago when the Packers and the Bears were playing for the first time because, I mean, Ben Johnson, that offense, it was going to take a little bit to learn, and I was upset that the Packers didn't get to play the Bears very early on in the year because that let the Bears settle in. just as you're saying here, yeah, the Packers have a pretty solid chance of, I mean, they understand this defense. They know what they're doing. And I also think, and this is the key to me, is that the Packers defense needs to be playing confident. That is something that they have done more under Jeff Hafley than a Joe Barry defense, right? They know that they can just fly to the football. And they've did a really, really good job of that early on this year, especially. I worry a bit about this year with maybe you just don't see, or this game rather, maybe you just don't see it work out that well if you're missing a key player like Micah Parsons up front, because he, regardless of his stats, his presence is so important to that entire defense. He absolutely elevates everything. And I worry that not having him on the field there with them is going to make the Packers play a little more passively on defense, which is not going to help that secondary at all. I kind of think that I'm leaning in that direction, to be honest with you. I'm not shaking in my boots, but I'm not very calm.
I think we agree that the critical question becomes whether we get enough pass rush for the defensive backs to account for whatever gets through. It's that relationship. It's a zero-sum game. What the defensive unit can accomplish as a whole is, can the defensive backs clean up what the defensive line lets through? And the linebackers get to just kind of pray. Thankfully, though, we've got guys like Quay Walker. We've got guys like Edger and Cooper who can shut down a lot of threats, whether it's a tight end or, in some cases, a wide receiver. But then the Ben Johnson difference comes in and you get to see a lot of people with matchup issues. Dom, is that to me would be intoxicating to suddenly see a coach create matchup issues. What do you enjoy most about Ben Johnson in his first year?
I love his intensity. The way he goes about coaching these guys, it really has a mentality that they all have to play well. And you see on social media all the time of, you know, what is it? Never bad. Something like
good,
that.
Good, better, best.
Yes,
dude,
good, better,
he
best.
Got me with that. Like the first couple times he did that, I was like, man, it sounds a little cheesy. But like you watch the most recent one after the most recent win, and it was like, it sounded like an army. It was so just like goosebumps. And that's a divisional rival. Like if I were you guys, I would be so stoked, because I think everybody expected improvement. But if I'm you, you're already three games better than I was expecting or hoping for. You know?
Yeah. I couldn't have asked for anything better as a Bears fan. Now we just got to finish these last couple of games. And the one thing I want to point out, and I don't know if I've said this before, but Caleb Williams just has to be on his A game, because 2 weeks ago he got, you know, at the last pick he wasn't on his A game. And that did have to do with Parsons and a lot of the pressures getting to him. But I'm thinking after this win against the Browns a week ago, they have more confidence and I feel like they can really pull out this win here.
I'm afraid that you're correct. My personal conclusion is if the Packers can manage to shut down the run in some way, that will unlock possibilities. And if that is possible, then the defensive backs can certainly clean up whatever else might remain. The linebackers can be the glue that holds that all together. So I think the defense, I hate to ever put it on one position group, but the Packers defensive line is really going to be it. And it's basically been a law firm, just an endless series of names rotating through. Parker, who are you watching? Who might give you hope? You know, if Josh Jacobs is out, for example, who do you think you can rely on for a good performance, even in a bad game?
Oh boy. I think Quay Walker is somebody that I want to see take another step. He's gotten a little bit better, I think, this year. Previously, I think we were totally underwhelmed with what he was doing coming into this year, right? He just was not delivering what we expected from him. He had a ton of expectations coming in, and he didn't quite come to be what we thought he would be. This year, especially, he's been a lot better. And I think part of that, too, is, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I'm going to go back to what I was saying earlier, playing with more confidence, because these guys have had more confidence to play freely and play faster. I'm expecting Quay Walker to kind of make a difference here. Keyshawn Nixon, I just need him to put the locks down. I need him to be, Dom, you were talking about Caleb Williams being on the A game. That's mm-hmm. what the Packers need from Keyshawn Nixon. He's got to be on the A game. That interception at the end of that first game against the Bears, that was him figuring it out during the play. He popped up. He was not covering, I forget who the targeted receiver there was, but he was coming up. He was coming closer to the line of scrimmage because it was somebody underneath. And then mm-hmm. he saw what was going on and he fell back there and he made that heads up play because frankly, originally that receiver was totally missed. So that's the kind of what I'm hoping. We keep seeing him as standing on his feet, getting some good plays in there. Jimmy, I think that you know that this is a huge game for playoff contention.
Well, I think too, the fact that the Packers right now are kind of on the fringe of that. I think that with the Lions charging hard right now, all three of these games matter, including this one. This one has the most potential though for moving up or down in the standings. And I think that a win for either team, I think that it almost locks you into getting in a postseason spot because it puts an extra game between you and your next door rival in the division. And that's why this one just feels differently going into this one.
That difference for me is anxiety. That's the name for the difference. I can put one word to it. Conrad, I feel like you're my partner in anxiety here in the chat, if you will. What's your general bearing going into the weekend?
Well, you know, I'm still sad, like I said before. But all right, so we're talking about key players, and the one person I want to see step up is Rashawn Gary. Because in the beginning of the season, we did see him play well. He's been kind of silent, and now I really need him to step up for this game to make it close.
Maybe one Rashawn Gary plus one Quay Walker playing out of their minds equals three quarters of a Micah Parsons. We'll see.
I think regardless, it's going to have to be, you can't replace, and this happens in any sport, you can't replace one star player with, you know, with another star player, someone transcendent like a Micah Parsons or a Giannis Antetokounmpo, if you use a Bucks example. It's got to be the sum of other parts to kind of replace some of that production and some of that impact. And unfortunately for the Packers, that's what they're up against for the rest of the season. Dom, it was great to have you as part of the roundtable. Thank you for hanging out with those knuckleheads this week.
Thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Conrad, Parker, Gray, as always, great to talk to you. See you again here in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Jimmy. Have a good holiday.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll have more coming up on Make the Call right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Our final segment of the show, we are finally going to catch up with Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer, badgerobserver.com, if you want to follow along all the happenings with the Badgers. And well, Jake, that includes last night, a game that went to overtime, and unfortunately for the Wisconsin Badgers, did not go their way against Villanova at Fiserv Forum. Tell us about it. What happened with the Badgers?
Yeah, you go down 13 at the half, and then you know it was a tale of two halves where they come back, play really good defense, hold Villanova to only 21 points in the second half, force overtime, only to allow Villanova to go 5 of 5 from the field in overtime. While also shooting 3 of 12 or 25% on their end, and just a bad loss to Villanova in Milwaukee. A lot of Badger fans there, and there's some good there with Nolan Winter, double-double, 23 points, 11 rebounds. Nick Boyd, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. And you can say John Blackwell had 14 points, but he was only 5 of 14 shooting and whatnot. But it's a rough loss for Wisconsin, and it's one of those things too where the other thing that really stood out too was just the simple fact that with Wisconsin, it's 16 turnovers, which is, as we all know, it's very uncharacteristic of a Wisconsin basketball program or team to have that many turnovers. So not a lot, second half's what you want to see from them, but the first half in overtime, just not good.
Well, the Badgers have had 4 losses now, and I really feel like for them in these non-conference games, they've had a couple of really good opportunities to maybe get themselves that win that they can use as a tournament resume, you know, kind of a hammer to get into the tournament field, get a better seed perhaps, but, you know, getting beat pretty handily by BYU, getting beat pretty handily by Nebraska, losing to Villanova, losing to TCU. It just feels like that some of these opportunities they have in the first half of the season that can help you down the road, they've missed on a lot of these.
Right, and like looking at the BYU lost, how many points did they lose by? 28. To TCU in San Diego, lost by 11. To Nebraska, they lost by 30. And so, you know, and that's where that's rough. But you've seen their wins where against Marquette, they win by 20. Northwestern in the Big Ten opener by 15. And so you're seeing a lay. I mean, that's some ebbs and flows, my man, you know? And so that's what makes it rough for Wisconsin. And, you know, and it's, here's the thing, they have to right the ship where, you know, coming up Monday, Central Michigan, Tuesday the 30th, they play Milwaukee. Both games are at the Kohl Center. Those are the times to get right, because guess what? January 3rd comes around, it's Purdue. and then the Big Ten schedule goes full tilt. And, you know, they got Michigan coming up on Saturday the 10th in Ann Arbor as well. So this is going to be quite the schedule for Wisconsin. And the gelling needs to happen soon. Or else this is going to be, you know, it's going to be a very interesting season of can they blow out a team or are they going to get blown out?
Well, the Badgers have four in a row at home, as you mentioned, Central Michigan coming up on Monday, and then they'll play Milwaukee a little bit after that before they, as you said, they dive in Purdue, UCLA, Michigan, Minnesota, and then off and running in the Big Ten. So a couple more non-conference games to go. Let's talk about something a little more fun, perhaps. And I know that they just lost here on Thursday, but the Wisconsin Badgers volleyball team, in a year in which they were supposed to be just reloading and getting ready for a run maybe next year, they get to the Elite Eight. It's what they do. They always get to the Elite Eight under Kelly Sheffield. Well, then they get to the Final Four. Then they get it to a fifth set. You know, they go up 2-1. They play a fifth set for a chance to go to the national championship game, or match, I should say. Badgers volleyball, what a behemoth this program is. Much like women's hockey, Wisconsin's got two absolute juggernauts in women's programs right now.
It really is a testament to Kelly Sheffield and that staff for the volleyball program, just what they do, where you have 10 new faces. One of them, you know, is five transfers, five freshmen. And guess what? One of the transfers that they thought they could count on gets injured, right? And so doesn't play the entire year. But you see just how this team gelled so quickly together. And you saw how Carter Booth elevated her play. You saw Mimi Collier do Mimi Collier things and, you know, become a first team All-American. And just what she did was one of the best offensive displays. This is my first year really covering the volleyball beat. I don't know if I'll see another offensive performance like that from a player that can do it all in that regard. But you also just saw this team get better and play their best ball at the end of the year. And the other thing too, you know, they faced adversity and Grace Egan goes down with injury. Charlie Furbringer, their star setter, there's the sophomore from California, you know, she injures her, you know, shoulder, comes back, almost plays like nothing happened and elevated her play to the next level too. And so, I mean, this is for a team that had so many new faces to come in to gel off the court, but then really gel on the court and play their best ball at the end of the season. It's truly a very remarkable season. Yeah, you could argue they should have won that match against Kentucky on Thursday night, but you know, it's also, I don't know if people thought that they would get to the Final Four either.
Well, it's certainly with Badgers volleyball, it just seems like every year we're talking about what a great run they've been on. We're watching the same thing in hockey with both men's and women's hockey, but it's so fun to see Badgers programs doing well and not having to talk about depressing things like, can the basketball team get it right? Can the football team, you know, at least get it close? So anyway, Jake Kukurowski, Badger Observer, is where you can find his work, badgerobserver.com. Make sure you subscribe, get his articles delivered right to you. I appreciate all of your insights, man, and we will talk to you after Christmas. Have a happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you all too. Be safe, have fun, enjoy the time with family and friends, and we'll talk to you next week.
Again, Jake Kokorowski right there. Big thanks to Jake for joining us here on the show today. Also, a huge thanks to all of our guests today, including Mark Miller of the Wisconsin Basketball Yearbook, as well as our roundtable, Parker Olson, Gray Gunderson, Conrad Krieger, and Dom Lee, and as well, our very favorite sports reporter for Civic Media, that is one, Mike Clemens. I'm Jimmy Cuska. You've been listening to Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll talk to you again next week right here on Saturday morning. Have a great weekend and Merry Christmas, everybody.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.